Welcome, welcome everyone to the So You Think You Can Dance wrap-up. It is Academy Week. Exciting. We are through the auditions and we are starting the real competition. My name is Lita Brillman. I am your host and I am joined this week after her absence was sorely, sorely missed last week while she was off doing amazing theater reviews and doing fun things that I wish I could do. Here is Kelly Bedard. Kelly, how are you?
Lita, I missed you so much because we also had 4th of July off. So it's been two weeks and I just am excited to get back to So You Think You Can Dance.
Yes. How was Toronto Fringe?
Oh, it was great. I saw 64 shows in 12 days.
Oh, my God.
11 days, actually, because the first day I had two other things, non-Fringe shows to review. So 64 in 11, I guess. It was fantastic. I gave it more A grades than I've ever given out. And everybody did an amazing job. So if anyone's listening who's a Toronto Fringer, good job, guys. So proud of you.
Nice. So you are very in art criticism mode, which is perfect because we are making cuts here and taking names here at the Academy.
Yes.
This week.
Yes. How are we? Okay. So should we start with this idea of like what the Academy is? Because it's so new to both of us. Like, how are you feeling about this? It's so different from what we're used to.
Okay. Yeah. So let's go through this new format a little bit. That is, of course, not new, but it's new to us because we did not watch last season. And it's probably new to a lot of listeners. So what we're doing now is instead of Vegas Week, we're keeping a lot of the elements from Vegas Week where they go through round by round. And each round is a different style of dance. And we still looking like we're going to have the brutal group nights and stuff like that. So I'm glad we're keeping, some of the main tenets, but now there are 10 all-stars who we will go through in just a moment. No judges. We didn't see Nigel or Mary or Vanessa. Gotta say, didn't really miss them. I realized like halfway through the episode, like, oh, there's no actual judges here. It's just all the all-stars. Did you sorely miss our three judges?
Not even a little bit. It occurred to me that it's possible that they just didn't want to pay them. And so like, what is a thing we can do for Hollywood Week, whatever we're going to call it, Academy, that we cannot pay the judges and save a little bit of money. And they got these enthusiastic dancers who are used to being underpaid.
Yes.
So I think the All-Stars are so cute. So I would rather replace, you know, I'm a little iffy on the judges in general. So I didn't miss them. I'm all for these All-Stars also because one of the things we're always talking about with the judges and judging whether or not they actually have this, the All-Stars definitely have, which is honest to God dance expertise.
Yes.
And like practical recent dance expertise.
And they've been there. They understand what they're going through.
Exactly. So I actually think that they... I would be sad to return to the judges, I think.
Yes. So the first round, they all do a solo and then they either move on or are cut on the spot based on a majority vote from these 10 All-Stars. 29 people were cut. That's crazy. I feel like that is so much because a solo is exactly what they did to get to this point.
Yeah, but the All-Stars were not the people who let them through.
Yeah.
So I think this is where they cut all of those people that Nigel let through because he's a producer.
Mm-hmm.
And the All-Stars are like, no, this person's not dragging down my competition just because they make a good story for Nigel. So this is where we lost a bunch of people, I would say. A couple of really good people, but we did lose that guy I really liked from a few weeks ago.
Ryan.
Yeah,
yes.
The one who had a sort of like strange style. And Allison Holker, I didn't really connect to him. And I was like, what?
Oh my God.
I think he's beautiful. But
yeah, well, we also have to remember that people like Allison, they were on this show when they were 18. And that means that she had likely been in the competition circuit since she was really young. So she has a very specific idea of what competition dance is that I think is hard to break away from, especially because her whole dance career has been So You Think You Can Dance and Dancing with the Stars and these very conventional competition formats. So I think it's hard for some people to break out of this in a way that they might be able to if they had grown up like in their dance career in a company or something like that, that is more used to experimenting.
And doing more
movement.
Art dance as opposed
yes.
to. Yeah. Well, that's a very interesting point because I also think Robert was very young when he auditioned.
Yeah.
what this panel is missing, we'll get into the All-Stars in a little bit, but talking about Ryan, what I do think is missing is I think we could have used a Mark, someone who, we don't have someone wacky on this panel, someone who's going to pick an artist who's going to really fit with Sonia, for example. Marco's probably our closest thing, but we just don't, we don't really have someone arty and strange. We have a lot of those sort of more typical people who do like traditional competition dance. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out, but it certainly did hurt Ryan here. So there are people like that, people who the judges are just different people than the All-Stars. So that's how, who these, did you say it was 29? That's who all these 29 people are.
Oh, yes. 29 people that were cut. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. But we have to, we do have to go back a little bit before, I mean, we'll finish going over the format of Academy, but I do have to say that Nigel said three times and then carried on the metaphor of bloom wherever you're planted. And I just got to say, Nigel, I can't handle this metaphor. Don't do it anymore.
He was just shouting out Angela Bloom for doing such a wonderful job on the podcast last week.
It was. Okay. Yes. Yeah, special thanks to Angela, who did a great job on the podcast. But Angela would never make a bad gardening metaphor. Like, she's too good for that. So I don't know, Nigel. I can't handle this blooming metaphor anymore.
Bloom wherever you are. Yes.
So we had 29 people. And then let's go through the rest of what, this, what we expect from the Academy. It's 3 weeks in the Academy. Can you believe that?
Yeah, I'm okay with it because I feel like we usually had multiple episodes per week back in the day from the Academy.
Yeah. Oh, I'm the Academy is my favorite part of the show.
Yeah,
so
I agree.
I'm more than happy to spend a lot of time there. I just think it's kind of insane that that's still only 3 hours of material for them in terms of like cost and the amount of just training and stuff that's going into creating the show. They probably could have done it in 3 days. And the fact that they didn't is kind of cool. It seems like they're invested in actually ending up with dancers who have gotten a little bit of extra training out of this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the next round, this week we got to see the hip hop round. So that was the first round of choreography with Nappy Tabs. And after each round of choreography, each contestant is going to go face the All-Stars and three things can happen. They can get cut. They can just move on like normal, or they can be drafted onto one of the All-Stars teams. And each All-Star, I guess, has 4 slots. And then we will see later how that gets dwindled down because there are not going to be 40 people on the main stage. So I'm not really sure how that's going to work, but I'm sure there will be very cutthroat competition to be like the one person that is on each person's team. So they can, it's like a bid. You just say, I want you on my team. And if there are more than one, if there's more than one All-Star that bids on you, you choose which All-Star you want to go with, which adds some totally unnecessary, but I thought really interesting drama to the show.
Yeah, well, this is a thing they stole from The Voice, and in my opinion, it's the best thing about The Voice is this part where if multiple people turn their chairs around for the blind audition, the contestant then gets to choose between them, and that's where you get all of that sort of really famous banter between Adam and Blake and like the competition stuff, and you can really see the judges' personalities come out and they're bidding for people. And so I'm delighted that this has made the jump over to So You Think You Can Dance, because I think it's a really fun twist, sort of. It's not really a twist, but like it's a fun format. It's interesting as it's already playing out. We'll get to this in a bit, but it's interesting to see how it's already playing out, because these are people, unlike The Voice, which are judges that have been brought into The Voice from separate careers who are already famous. These are all people who were famous through the show that they're now on. So it's interesting to see how their edits and their popularity is informing who gets chosen when there are those competitions. It's kind of interesting. And there's an element of strategy to the contestants, too. We saw a hip hop guy actively decide to take a contemporary coach or mentor, or also whatever we're calling them. Because he knows he's going to have to face a bunch of different styles, and he didn't want to just go with like Comfort or someone who's going to be, you know, they're going to do incredible hip hop routines, but he's more. That way he'd be too focused on this one genre that he's already confident in. I thought it was really, it's a really cool idea. One thing I'm wondering, I'm also wondering how they're going to dwindle these teams down, but once you get picked onto a team, especially in like an early round, like hip hop, and everybody else is still going through, like up next is the Travis Wall contemporaries. And then we get the Sonya Taya. What do they still compete in those rounds? Do they still get to go to that choreography and learn from those people? And there's just lower stakes for them? Or
yes. So that's a great question and something that I don't know. And I'm sure someone will let us know on Twitter who's more familiar with this. I imagine they still have to do it. But they have, you know, some kind of immunity or whatever, because it must help inform the All-Stars need more information about who they want to be their ultimate partner. So they're still safe from elimination for that round, but they still have to like really prove themselves because they're not to the end yet. So I imagine that's what's going on there.
And then also, do you know if there's any sort of not necessarily rules, there really shouldn't be rules about this, but if there's a convention of who they pick for their partner? Someone on Twitter, Emo Stephen Fishback, was sending me fantastic things on Twitter last night of clips from last year's best performances. And so it seems that Robert definitely had a young boy who does contemporary as his partner last year. Mm-hmm. So which is, you know, the same as Robert. So I was wondering things in terms of picking a gender and picking a style. Are people going to see Comfort picking a male hip hopper and Allison picking a male contemporary dancer? Or are we going to see a bit more mixing and matching? And all of a sudden we've got, you know, Robert doing a partner dance with a male break dancer.
Yeah, I really have no idea. I imagine it's going to depend on the All-Star. I think people like Allison are who can, you know, she's started out as a contemporary dancer when she was 18, but she's done so much ballroom and she did hip hop pretty well in the show. I'm sure that someone like her, we could see anyone going with. I think that you're going to get someone like Jenna, who is the only person on the panel who's a ballroom person, like first and foremost. I think
Paul is as well, but she's the only girl.
Yes. Yeah. But I think probably Paul and Jenna, but particularly Jenna, she seemed to just really have like blood in her eyes when the ballroom people came that was like, I want them. I think she's going to take them, maybe less because that's exclusively what she wants, and more just because the ballroom people probably want a ballroom person to have like the same opportunity for mentoring. Like, I just don't know how much fiction could possibly give as a mentor to a ballroom person. Whereas people like Allison or even like Gabby, who's done a bunch of different styles, could go with anyone and still have something useful to offer. Whereas I feel like the two ballroom people are going to want to take ballroom people just to make sure that they have a fair chance and have an equally successful mentorship.
Yeah, I do wonder, because the one year that we had a top 10 and we dwindled down just one a week, we ended up with this very strange gender breakdown at the end where we had like five guys left and only one woman who did go on to win, but it was strange. So I'm wondering if the producers are going to sort of get in their ear about, okay, well, no one's picked a ballroom dancer yet, so we need at least one ballroom dancer on this, and we need at least, I wonder if we're going to get a weird gender imbalance. Which can definitely happen in dance. So I'll be very interested to see if when the top 10 comes out, they have somehow managed to collect everyone picked someone who we end up with very interesting representation at the end. It'll be interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm pretty confident that they'll do a good job of breaking it up. I think they themselves probably want a broad diversity of the All-Stars, and I'm sure that the producers will have something to do with it. So that is the format of the Academy. And I gotta say, I get the criticisms about, you know, this is, it makes sense. Someone pointed out on Twitter that this makes sense for kids because they like need mentors, but some of these people are probably going to be older than their mentor and they're already fully trained dancers who are, I'm sure, in many cases, equally talented or perhaps even more talented than the mentor they end up getting. So it is kind of strange that they set it up this way. I wish that they would say like partner which I think that they do say sometimes, but this idea of like the mentor mentee is kind of strange. But I gotta say, I don't know if this is a hot take. I love this. I really, really think that this is very interesting and fun.
I fully agree with both of those points, even though they are contradictory. I totally agree. There are going to be absolutely partnerships where the new contestant is better than the all-star, partly because some of these all-stars are not, I think, the strongest people we've ever seen in their genre. And some of them are not even, like, a lot of them actually are people who were exceptional in their type of dance and actually struggled a little bit with some of the other ones, not struggled like hardcore, but they weren't always the, you know, they didn't shine. And so in every single thing. So it'll be interesting. I don't know. I'm a little wary of this idea of mentorship because these are adults who are trained and some of them are exceptionally trained. So it is a weird power dynamic. But I think if we change some of the language around it, I think it's so fun. I think that The Voice is one of the best formats on TV. It's sometimes created a weird dynamic. I do think that some of The Voice winners have not had as strong of careers as, say, an American Idol winner, partly because of ratings, but partly because I really think a lot of The Voice is the format allows the judges to really be the stars of the show. They have a lot of airtime. They're really involved. The teams that they pick really reflect them and their values and their talents. So this is an interesting format where I love all-stars. Like give me any all-stars ever. This particular group is very charming and just delightful. And I'm very pleased to have them here. So, and because we don't know these other people yet, I would always rather watch the all-stars. So the fact that this format heavily favors them in terms of airtime is, you know, for me, fine right now. But I do think that we're going to see by the time we're in the top 10, we're maybe not going to know these new contestants as well as we usually do. And by the end of the season, we might not care about them as much as we would want to, because it's been such a heavily all-star focused season, like The Voice, where everybody just watches for Adam.
Yeah. So that is a good point about who is going to be the focal point of the show and how will that influence voting? Cause I assume this is going to be a similar thing where the judges pick the bottom and then America votes, which how much is that going to depend solely on who the all-star is? It's like when there's a returning player on Big Brother and there's an America vote thing where it's like, well, obviously the returning player is going to get it because they're established. So luckily this is
reference, Lita.
Yes. Well, luckily this is more even because everyone has an all-star, but how much are people going to remember, you know, Paul versus someone like Fiction or these larger personalities who are now on World of Dance and other shows.
Absolutely.
So it's something interesting to think about. Also, this is all very good information for you because I've never actually seen The Voice. It came just at the tail end of me getting off of the American Idol train. Mm-hmm. And so I wasn't really looking for another show to jump onto.
Really,
so I never got into it.
I watched, I think, all of season 2 and all of season 3, and then NBC had a programming snafu where they didn't buy any good pilots, so they just didn't have anything to put on the air. So they put and The Voice was the only thing they had that got really good ratings. So some genius at NBC put it on 4 days a week, and I was I really enjoy this show, but I'm an all or nothing person. I can't sort of just like watch sporadic episodes, and I'm not watching your show 4 days
a week.
It's not happening.
Oh my gosh.
I had to quit, even though it is delightful, but it is very like there are maybe two, I watched those two full seasons and maybe like half another season. And I just, it's very hard to name a contestant from that show. And
yeah,
it's even really pretty hard to name a winner from that show. But everyone watches for Adam and Blake. So it'll be interesting to see. I do think, though, that they've done, and I don't know if this was on purpose, but I think it probably wasn't on purpose, but it certainly works out, I think. But yeah, none of the All-Stars are the sort of people who the audience is bananas for. Mostly I'm pointing out the fact that we don't have Twitch this season.
Yes.
we do have people who are more popular. Obviously, Allison is very popular. Fiction is very charming, like their audience favorites. People are absolutely going to phone in and vote for them the way they do on Dancing with the Stars. Same thing, right? Like if you have a really popular pro with you, you're more likely to get at least a little bit of a bump. I think it's going to happen more here than it did on Dancing with the Stars. But someone like, you're right, Paul. So who else other than Paul? People don't like Robert for some reason. Like, yeah. There's a couple people who might not get that extra bump, but I don't see anyone who's that clear, like way out in front. Everyone's going to vote for them and they're just going to win based on their own popularity, like we would have if Twitch was there.
Yeah. So on this note, let's go through the All-Stars. I am just going to read out all of them, all 10 of them, and what season they were on. And then we can just give some kind of overall impressions and maybe specific people that we want to talk about. But I have the sense that if we go through every All-Star and discuss it, this will be a 10-hour podcast. Because
also mention what kind of dance they do in case people don't remember.
Oh, sure. I'm sure that I'll get this wrong because some of these people are so good that I don't really remember what they originally did. So this is in no particular order. This is just like I saw a face and then I wrote it down throughout the episode. So we have Jasmine Harper from season 10. She is originally a contemporary dancer. We have Allison Holker from season 2, also contemporary. Fiction from season 10, who is hip hop, but like a kind of stylized, the Dragon House hip hop, if you know what that means, if you've been watching the show. Comfort Fiduk from season 4, she's hip hop. Marco Germar, who I believe was contemporary or jazz.
I think he's credited as jazz, but on this show, again, they're pretty much the same.
Yeah. Jenna Johnson, who is ballroom, who I like forgot about until we did that Dancing with the Stars podcast because I love her, but didn't even remember her. It's a ballroom dancer because she's so good at everything.
And she's in that dance routine. That's your favorite routine of all time.
My favorite routine of all time. Jenna Johnson and Mark Kanemura. It's called I Am the One, I think. Look it up. It's the best routine ever. Robert Roldan, who is contemporary from season 7. Cyrus Spencer from season 9. He's hip hop. Gabby Diaz from season 12, who is tap technically, and Paul Carmirian from season 10, who is ballroom. And this was one person who, like, I saw his face, I recognized his face, and I was like, I feel like I vaguely have in my brain that he's a ballroom dancer, but I don't remember any dance he's ever done.
I loved Paul on his I just think he's one of those people, he's very quiet. There's always this person on Bachelorette that you can sort of relate to, I'm sure, where like he doesn't get any airtime. You can tell the producers think he's really boring, but there's just something about him that you're like, oh, you make me smile. Like,
yeah,
you're so cute. That's Paul. He's lovely. He's very refined, beautiful dancer. Very gracious, very smart, smile for days. Like, he's just the best, except that he's not the best, which is what I want to talk about. I'm not sure. So these ballroom selections is just an interesting thing to me. So I keep saying the word interesting. I'm so sorry, everybody. Jenna and Paul are sort of very clearly not the best ballroom dancers in the history of this show. I think that, but Jenna is someone who is poachable from Dancing with the Stars, whereas Lindsay and Whitney are not. She was on last year or 2 years ago, but she didn't go very far, and they're always hesitant to give her a partner. So I think that she was like, oh, I'll raise my profile back on the show that I like when she was on. So You Think You Dance, she was one of the big stars of her season.
She was absolutely my favorite on her season. And that was a very stacked season.
Yeah. And then but it's interesting that you didn't remember she was ballroom.
So I just remember all these amazing dances she did that weren't in that style and don't remember any. I don't remember her audition or her like any standout ballroom routines that she did. So I don't know why it just totally blanked for me.
But that's what I mean. Like she was really known for her versatility. So she's not necessarily a ballroom, if they're looking for like ballroom expert person, but a lot of with the that sort of generation that all went to Dancing with the Stars, all of their go-to ballroom all-stars are much older, because like Pasha and Anya just can't do it anymore, I don't think, because they're so old. She's an interesting pick. I think Paul's a way more interesting pick, because he's really not a fan favorite. Like, I love him, but he's not, I think he's definitely the number one pick for like, who is that guy? Yeah, and it took him, I think he said one sentence all episode.
Yeah, if I don't remember who he is,
exactly,
like barely, then the majority of the viewing audience, I like to think I am more than a casual fan of this show. And I barely remember.
Yeah, maybe.
So that was, I think, one thing that's worth pointing out is that Dimitri is a choreographer for the Academy. So I think
also
if they
kept saying that our choreographers are the best of the best, and I was like, first of all, these aren't even the best of the best of the So You Think You Can Dance choreographers, let alone of actual choreographers. Dimitri,
wait, are you saying this about Dimitri specifically?
I hate Dimitri.
Oh my god, Kelly.
No, I'm sorry. I think he's gross, and I just I just think he's kind of blah. And actually, when he was briefly a coach on or a pro on Dancing with the Stars, he got criticized a lot for his choreography.
This is blowing my mind. You know, I'm obsessed with the season 2 top 10 in general.
Yeah,
and Dimitri was one of the people that I, at age 11, was vehemently picking up the phone for him and Ivan.
We have such different taste in men. So
listen, he's not my taste any longer. When I was 11, I found him to be extremely compelling television.
Oh,
he never wore a shirt. Yeah. It was exciting.
All right. I've been skeptical since the day he showed up on my TV screen, but I don't know. So I don't love Dimitri. I think it's sort of an interesting, I think it's a strange, I don't like basically when they claim, make these big self-important claims of the best of the best choreographers. And then they just have they have two different guys who were just like competitors on season 2. Like, this is the world of dance is very big, people. Like, come on.
Hey, no plugging World of Dance.
I did that on accident. Also, okay, Twitter people who are still watching and comment people who are still watching World of Dance, please explain to us what happened with Fiction on that show, and why is he on two shows airing simultaneously right now? Like, what's happening? Why is he here and on World of Dance? Is that a single episode appearance situation? Like, please let us know, because I don't know what he's doing.
Yes. So other overall impressions for me about these all-stars, we have four people from season 10, which is very interesting to me. And we also have a lot of hip-hop dancers. We've got like really good hip-hop representation, which I think is good. There's three that are strictly hip-hop. I will say that I think that Jasmine should stop denying her hip-hop ability, because the routine that she did
was a hip-hop, like, was credited as a hip-hop dancer, wasn't she? Because
I believe
Cyrus's ex-girlfriend.
Yes, she is Cyrus's ex-girlfriend.
To me. Wait, so okay, can we see scenes of that, please? Like, I didn't even realize they were, of course, they're on the same panel. That's delightful.
Yes, they are exes, and this makes me very happy, because I am someone who is very close friends with all of my exes, not all of them, with a couple of my exes. It's something that's very important to me, and I am glad that So You Think You Dance is not like still on this drama, because that was kind of her whole package when she first auditioned for the show, because she auditioned the year after Cyrus made it to the finale, so it kind of made that her whole thing. But normalize friendships between exes. They are friends, they're not just exes, they're good friends. And or maybe they're not, maybe they have no relationship, I don't know, but like, I'm glad that they are not defining their relationship by that, or So You Think Dance hasn't pumped any drama out of that.
They didn't bring it up at all. I'm just now remembering it, because I'm remembering I was going through my head. I was like, I was pretty sure she auditioned as a hip hop dancer, but I might be wrong.
No, then, I don't believe she did.
Oh, because then, but I remembered her strongly having a hip hop thing. And then now remembering the Cyrus idea, I was like, oh, yes, she was a contemporary dancer who like studied with Dragon House, essentially.
Right. So she has, yeah, she has a lot of hip hop training. So that's what I'm kind of getting at here with like, there are three technically hip hop dancers, but Jasmine certainly has all the tools to critique and mentor hip hoppers. So that is really good. We have, you know, I don't know if people are going to get mad at me for pointing this out or whatever. I think that it's really great. We have a majority non-white panel, which I point out.
I didn't even notice that. That is true. That's great. Yes.
So I am pointing that out just to say that the world of competitive dance specifically is often very gatekept and is something that you have to go to a performing arts high school or something like that to break into when you're young. And so to see a majority non-white panel that does not look like most of the dance companies that you would just like go and see, I think is really great and really important and is shows an effort from So You Think You Can Dance. Not that they specifically found these people, but shows a thing about So You Think You Can Dance that I think is really good, that they have always done a good job of inclusivity and diversity. Not just like, oh, we need to put a Black person on this panel, but like these legitimately are the 10 people we wanted. And they happen to be from all these different styles and all these different parts of the world and all these different ethnicities and stuff like that.
I actually do think it's kind of a coincidence. Like, I think that they purposely tried to get some sense of like, I think they wanted at least one female and one male ballroom dancer. I think they wanted at least three or four hip hop dancers, because otherwise hip hop might be underrepresented on the show. And they wanted at least one tap dancer, that sort of thing. But I do think that these are just the people they picked. Like, I don't think they had it in their mind at all, really. They probably were looking for some gender parity, but they probably didn't. At least I don't think, based on who these particular people are, nobody seems shoehorned in, especially anybody who maybe does seem a little shoehorned in my opinion, happen to be the white people.
Yes.
So that's interesting that, you know, I didn't even notice. That's so great, though. So if you were speaking of Jasmine, I was sort of looking at these people and listening to the first person who was invited onto a team choose their person. And we saw a lot in this episode. People were choosing Allison. And I think that's a strong choice because, one, she does have that Dancing with the Stars experience of like coaching. Because there's a difference between a really good dancer and a really good dance teacher. And I think that Allison has experience doing both of those things. She's a notably strong choreographer, too. And she does have, she's probably the most balanced in terms of having done most of the styles. So I think she's probably a strong choice, remembering that Jasmine is a contemporary dancer, even though I associate her with hip hop, mostly because of that one Beyonce routine.
Yes, on the bicycle.
That's like the one thing of hers that stands out so strongly in my mind. So I always think of her as hip hop. She would also be like, I would go with someone who's particularly balanced. But on the other hand, there is certainly a strategy to be had of just like lean into your own style. If you're a hardcore hip hopper, go fiction, go comfort, go someone who like your amazing hip hop routine in week three might drag you through to week seven. So if you were in the academy and the entire panel, like, you know, metaphorically speaking, press their button for you.
Yes.
Who would you pick and why? Whose team do you want to be on?
Okay. So I think that it was interesting that someone said like, oh, I have to go with energy. And they went with comfort, because comfort is the only one on this panel. I think I've mentioned before that I used to, go to the meet and greets of all these tourists, and Comfort is the only one that I met in person, because I went through season like 4 through 7 or something. And not 7, because Robert was on that. It might have been 3 through 6. So Comfort's the only one from this season that I've met, and she does have this ridiculously charismatic, just an energy that I still remember from like 10 years ago. So she's someone that I think I would really click with. So what are we pretending here that my style is? I think that would be important.
What are you most like? You're like a jazz dancer, right? Like, you're most likely to audition as a jazz dancer.
Yeah, something like that.
Let's call you a competition jazz dancer.
Okay, sure. I think, honestly, I would, assuming that Allison would not be able to hook me up with Ivan, because that would influence my decision. I think that I would go with Marco here.
Yes.
And it's not just because like you know, I would say that my style is closest to like Broadway style jazz, which is completely different from what he does. So it's not really a style thing. I just think that he has probably the highest regard for out of the boxness of this group, in like while still being a technically incredible dancer. And I think that he would be good at imparting that. I also just love him. I think that he's someone who doesn't necessarily get remembered a lot for like having a big personality or something like that. But I find him to be to have very refined style, both in his technique and in his choices in his movement. So I think that I would have to go with Marco here.
Yeah, that's a very strong pick. I love Marco so much. I don't know who I would pick. I totally agree about Comfort's personality. Like, she's so warm and bubbly and hilarious and the most beautiful person in the world. And I'm obsessed with Comfort. I do think she's a little too narrow in her genre, though. And so as a strategy, I don't know about that. I kind of maybe agree, Marco. I think Marco's a great pick. I also love Robert, and maybe we can get into the whole Robert montage here. But this is such an interesting. Have we talked yet on the show about the weird reaction to Robert when he was on his season?
I believe we did.
I feel like we did. Because
to the listeners, the reason Kelly and I can't remember this conversation is because we just like talk after these podcasts about So You Think You Can Dance, like giant nerds. Yeah. And sometimes we can't remember what we said on the podcast and what we said after it. Yes. But why don't you, in case we did talk about it, just like recap very quickly.
Okay. So your take on this. Robert Roldan is delightful and funny and charming and nice and one of the best, arguably the best contemporary male dancer they've ever had. And he's done a lot of the greatest routines in the history of the show. But when he was on season 7, now it was interesting. He was notably on the same season as Alex Wong, who took a lot of the love and a lot of the attention until he got hurt. But Robert was in the bottom three basically every single week from the second he landed in. This was the year with the top 10 where they eliminated one person a week because it was the first year they did All Stars. And Nigel literally he did a speech. It was kind of unfair. Like, he's not really supposed to do this, but he thought it was so just wrong the way the voting was going that he literally did a speech on the air where he said, "I don't know what the fans aren't seeing in Robert, but he's a really nice person," because there was this weird, I think it's something about his posture and the way he holds his face where he just, people had it in their head that he was really arrogant and stuck up and cold and just like not a good dude. And the more you pay attention to Robert, the more you notice he's got these hilarious facial expressions. He's so just like charmingly sarcastic. He has a delightful personality.
Yeah, I think.
Yeah. But people hated him. And so he would be in the bottom all the time. And even here, you're seeing it again. People are not drawn to him. And he'll have these shots of him where it looks like he's being pissy about it. But then if they stay on him long enough, he's just like playing pissy because he thinks that's funny. And that's Robert. And I love that. But people are not responding. And it's the same thing over and over again. It's fascinating to me.
Yeah, I think that there's an idea of like, he's so polished in his style and it's he's so good that it's like a little bit inaccessible to people. Whereas like someone who's a perfect like hip hop dancer or something, it still seems like more relatable or accessible or something like that. And then combined with the fact that he's so handsome.
He's like, the handsomest person in the world.
Like, yeah, like he's like not real life. Like he looks so handsome that it doesn't look like he's like a real person. Mm-hmm. And I think people assume that combination of being this like incredible talent in a way that like no one could really hope to achieve and being just so attractive and not like cute. Like people love to pick up the phone for like these adorable guys, but he is like model face adult. Yeah. He looks older than he is. Like
by so much. He was like 18 when he auditioned. And he looked like he was 30.
Right. So I think that there's just something about that combination that makes it really hard for people to connect with him. Like, what about him? What about his life is relatable? And I don't think the show did him any favors in his editing, because I don't remember any like personal information about him that I don't know from social media. Like, I know about his life just from, like, following him, but I don't remember learning anything about him on the show. I'm sure they did, but I don't remember it.
I vaguely remember him having some sort of backstory tragedy thing. I think, like, wasn't he one of the ones who had a huge injury situation? And that
I really don't remember.
I think he did. I think he had a really bad injury that he came back from. I might be wrong, but I remember him dancing a piece about that with when he was an All-Star as well. And the reason they picked him for that was because he could relate to it. But yeah, he's sort of hard to. And here's where I do it. Danny Tidwell had the same thing. I was listening to the podcast from last week and I was like, nobody's mentioned Danny Tidwell yet. This is not okay. Although Angela did an exceptional job of bringing center stage into the conversation.
Oh my God. That was so funny.
That made me very happy. And
it's like this again, it's like Groundhog Day.
And she just, she just replaced Danny Tidwell and Katie with Bob's Burgers, which is fine.
Yes. That's hip hop.
Yeah, that's hip hop. That was so good. I do totally agree. And it's an interesting wall that goes up between him and the audience. And also, I understand this, people who are too attractive to trust.
Like, yes.
You sort of just get like a little bit intimidated by them. And we also, I think there's this weird, and it's totally from like film and especially television history, where we assume that the pretty people and the popular people, but specifically the pretty people, are mean. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, we've seen Glee, basically, is like why, you know, and Pretty in Pink and all these things, where the prettier you are, the you're always cast as the jerk.
Yeah.
And Robert absolutely would be, even though anytime you actually watch an extended period of him, he's so delightful.
Yeah. So yeah, we are doing the Lord's work and telling you not to judge Robert and give him your votes if you are so inclined this season.
If you're on the show, even though you've already filmed it retroactively, you want to be on Robert's team. Robert always goes really far. People who dance with him do incredibly well. Like, you want to be on Robert's team. He's the best dancer. He's so good.
Yeah. So I guess we might as well just put it here, since this episode is too hard to go on chronologically anyway. But we do get this montage of people not wanting to go on Robert's team. And it's just, it's weird that the show highlighted this, I feel like.
Well,
right?
I think they think it's funny. I think that they also know that Robert's cool with it. Like, this is not something he's taking personally. Whereas, like, when Cyrus got, like, left for fiction, he did seem a little bit sad. Because he's a really sensitive soul. And I think Robert's a little tougher, and which is one of the reasons why he's harder to connect with. But I also think it's very possible, like, generally how The Voice works, and also how this seemed to be working, is that people who got multiple, what I'm going to call a chair turn, because I don't know what to call it here.
I've been saying bids.
Bids. Yeah, it feels a little human auction-y. All right, get out. But like, people who get multiple offers, I guess, it's not often two offers. It's often like three or four. You know, I could see a bunch of these people having been offered the entire All-Star slate. Mm-hmm. So I think that they probably could have edited together a little package, because this was only, they showed what, four people rejecting Robert. They probably could have put together a package wherein any given All-Star, except maybe Allison, got rejected four times. But there's something about Robert's full series narrative and the fact that he will let them do this montage without it hurting his feelings. I think they think it's funny.
Basically. Yeah, the fact that someone who looks like Robert can be a Charlie Brown, a Spencer Bledsoe in any scenario is very funny to me.
Yeah. Also, I just want to take a short moment to talk about those glasses.
Yes.
Robert. Ah. Oh.
Oh, Robert, God. What are you doing to us?
Like, he just upped the ante with those glasses. I just can't. Robert.
Breaking hearts all over the place. Mm-hmm. Robert, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. So, all right. I guess the best way to do this is we get kind of this whole episode where we only see like a little bit of everyone. We do not need to go through every solo and every hip hop round or anything like that. But were there any highlights for you, any standouts from this whole day of auditions from the solos or from the hip hop round?
Well, one thing
I talked about Ryan Bailey getting cut, which I think was a big moment for me. But any other cuts or anything that stood out for you?
Yeah. Well, one thing I wanted to talk a little bit about is Christina and Vasily.
Yes.
Who had an amazing audition. They did the blindfold and the spin kiss. They really stood out. Then they do a beautiful number here. I don't know what it was in terms of ballroom styles. It was sort of like contemporary, maybe a rumba. Like,
it was, I think, in only the most technical sense, I think it was a samba.
Really?
I think so.
Oh.
Okay. But it was very delicate. It was like a contemporary samba, but maybe it wasn't even technically that. That's what it looked like to me.
I mean, it was so beautiful. But,
yes.
I quite strongly believe that they should not go through, or they shouldn't be on anybody's team. And that's strictly because I don't know that when these people are dancing with all stars or split up in any way, their magic will stay around.
Yes.
At which point their big selling point is the fact that Allison Holker pronounces his name Vasily. a whole bunch.
This is like when you've taken like one French class.
Yep.
And then you like come across a French word and that's like, oh, his fiance.
Yep. Yep. Allison, who is very clearly with Robert, I'd say, but very clearly like the parent of the All-Stars. Like she's she's in charge. She's the stop and start the music person. The can we see the next dancer person?
Yeah.
She is clearly what I call a bruschetta person. It's like, they know, everyone knows it's pronounced bruschetta, but you're kind of a jerk if you go to Olive Garden and you ask for the bruschetta. Like, come on.
It's like Giada De Laurentiis every time she's on her cooking show. And she's like, and then we add the mozzarella.
But like, that is honest to God Italian woman right there.
Yes, but even so, it's like,
right. Her grandmother would probably disown her if she pronounced it any other way. This is not Allison Holker's situation.
She is not secretly Russian.
I choose to believe that at home in their beautiful home, that Twitch makes fun of her for this nonsense because it has to be true.
Oh, I love that. I love thinking about their marriage and their family.
Me too. They're so cute.
Yes, and I'm not like a kids are cute person, but their child is extremely cute. anyway, yes, so they, Christina and Vasily, I don't know. I think Jenna is looking at them very hungrily, but just Jenna.
Okay, so speaking of Jenna, do you want to jump ahead a little bit to when Jenna declared Kiki to be the best ballroom dancer who's ever auditioned for their best male ballroom dancer who's ever auditioned for the show and snatched him up even though he couldn't do hip hop to save his life?
Am I supposed to remember who Kiki is?
Kiki is the one. He auditioned. He was in the episode. The only reason I remember him is because I watched last week's episode like minutes before watching this one.
Okay.
He was in last week's episode. He auditioned with his not girlfriend, and they are they call themselves dance soulmates.
Oh,
you
he looked different.
Who was the boy?
Right.
Yes.
Okay. Was he like maybe not wearing glasses or something? He looked different to me in this one. Okay, I remember him now.
I don't remember. I just remember, I think he's really cute, and she was the one, she kept talking over him.
Yes, yeah. Okay, I totally remember this. Wow, I just, like, did not even connect those. I am not good with faces, though, so it's totally possible that, like, half the people I didn't recognize, I probably on some podcast was like, I'm obsessed with this person, and then just, like, yeah, did not remember who they are.
I definitely did feel we were watching that amazing 100-person number on the way in, which was actually the number they used for the choreography rounds and the auditions. But they, I was looking, and I was like, I don't know who. I just watched 4 weeks of auditions. I don't recognize anybody.
Hey, it was 98 dancers.
Oh, yes, because somebody got
two
injured,
mysterious disappearances. That was a great number. Should we talk a little bit about this?
Well, let's do Kiki and Jenna first, and then we'll go back because we started it. So
yes. Good point. So yeah, Kiki just, he doesn't even do the hip hop. He just completely blacks out and just doesn't do anything. And Jenna still drafts him. I think that he should have been cut here. Why does Jenna want him on his on her team?
So
if he's the best ballroom dancer ever, it doesn't matter if he draws a style that isn't ballroom and he can't even pick up the steps.
Yeah, I have a couple questions here. The first one is, do you think that if he has a full, because they have a full week to rehearse their one number for the show. So do you think that he only couldn't do this because he didn't have enough time and he'll be able to pick it up when he's in the rehearsal room all every day? Or is that not true? And he's just going to try and get by on his ballroom, in which case, question number two. I don't remember him that well. I mostly remember him from like the parts where he was talking, not so much when he was dancing. There's no way he's the best male ballroom dancer who's ever auditioned for the show. That's bananas.
Yeah, absolutely no way. I don't know. I'm sure that he'll be able to passably do a routine that he has a week to rehearse for. It's just that this competition is very fast paced. The point of the Academy, and I believe on any other season, he would have been cut because of this, is that you have to pick it up. You have an hour to pick it up. And that's what you have to do, because great dancers are able to do this. And like, I know that it's a competition about dance and not a competition about exclusively remembering choreography very quickly, but that is part of it. And that's part of competition dance. And I think that truly great dancers, at least in this context, are able to do that. And I don't think that you should be allowed to scrape by not even meeting the minimum requirements of the Academy week. And if Jenna really sees something in him, then, you know, that's her call. I just think that it would be a mistake for her to take this person when there are so many people who are amazing in their style, I'm sure, who are amazing in ballroom, who are able to make up for whatever difference there is in that ballroom skill, whatever she sees in him. I feel like it can't be that much of a difference in talent to make up for not being able to do this round.
Yeah. I don't know really what she's thinking. I think you might be right that she is trying to stack her team exclusively with ballroom dancers, in which case, if she's looking because you got to think the ballroom dancers are going to specifically pick people who are the opposite gender of themselves because of so much partnering. So you got to think, okay, so she's looking for four male ballroom dancers. Maybe the pickings are a little bit slim and she's like, well, Kiki is one of them. And he's adorable. Like, he's charismatic. He's, you know, very handsome. I think that maybe she's trying to play the TV game a little bit. And if she bites a bullet for it, I'm fine with that.
Yep.
Yep.
All right. Well,
consequence of your own actions.
Yeah. It's your funeral, Jenna. I mean, I just wanted to quickly touch on this opening routine. I thought it was really nice. I loved the Beyonce Freedom part where they're in the water, the three male dancers.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was really nice. I really like the tap part, obviously the best part. I just thought that creative producer, choreographer of La La Land, Mandy Moore, did a very nice job.
Yes, I thought this was delightful. I did notice that the at least the synchronized part at the end was the same routine she was teaching in choreography auditions, which makes total sense to me, because if you do have people who are not, you know, as going to pick it up as fast, they couldn't have had that much time to work on this giant routine. So having a few people, especially the people who weren't good enough to go through without going to choreography, have a little bit of extra, like they've already learned this routine, probably made the routine better.
Yeah.
Solid strategy.
Yes. reduce, reuse, recycle choreography.
Absolutely.
So who else stood out before we get to the people who were picked for teams to you? I think that we should probably just touch on Jensen and friend. I don't remember his last name. I mean, his first name. The little sister of Lindsay, who we thought was not very good in the audition. Her partner is cut, but she makes it through.
Yes, but we did not see her after the ball after the hip hop.
Yeah,
round.
She did not get a bid. I don't believe
so she did go through.
I think so. I think we would have seen it if she was cut. Tristan is his name, and he was cut, and she did not seem particularly devastated by this, which I thought was, they didn't really show her reaction to him getting cut. She just walks out and she's like, I'm so happy and relieved that I made it through.
Yeah, we did see her crying and saying goodbye to him. I think she felt bad more than, like, bad for, like, guilty more than anything. Yeah. I think she's super mediocre. I think that the only reason she got through is because they're like, oh, it's Lindsay's sister. And, like, Jenna, for example, grew up with this girl.
Yeah.
Because something we always forget, because we think, oh, Lindsay and Whitney, best friend blondies. But, like, Jenna is the third person in that little group. She just wasn't on the same season as them, so we forget about that. So if she ends up on the show, that would, I could see Jenna being like, that's like, I'm gonna pick a girl just because I want my friend to go through. But I don't know, I think she's pretty mediocre. I think that she only went past her partner because she's Lindsay's sister, and that's a thing that we can talk about on the show.
Yep. Well, good for you, Jensen.
Yeah.
I still do not see huge things for you. Yeah, so another person
also got cut.
I was about to say another person who was cut was Darius Hickman, which is very sad. He must have he got cut after the hip hop round, not after his solo. So I imagine this must have been a really dismal hip hop round.
Yeah, he must have been. I don't know. At a certain point, he was on the first episode, so he has that sort of like first really great person we see thing. I do think he got overshadowed in his own style, too. Like, we by the end of the auditions, we'd seen enough really standout contemporary guys that someone like him can sort of slip through the cracks a little bit. And he is also very young. I seem to remember him being 18.
Yes, he was 18. So hopefully he will be back. I thought that he was really, really standout in his audition. He's one of the people that I actually remember who he is. So, you know,
yeah,
that means something. So, yeah, and then we have a couple other people that were cut that weren't very surprising. Romainson Romaine from last year. And then we get some people who are highlighted that definitely should have been. We have Lexi Shimoto, of course, is highlighted. I believe he ends up going with Gabby's team, which is very interesting to
and
me.
And we got zero explanation of this. They didn't even point out that it was Lex. We just had to recognize his face.
Right.
Like, we just saw someone pick Gabby, and I literally rewound the television. I was like, was that Lex? That
he was wearing a hat.
Major story for Lex to pick Gabby, and we didn't get it, and it's all I want.
I have no idea why this happened. He must have just been like, well, I'm amazing at every single style, so maybe I'll pick up Tap. Like,
maybe he does Tap, but it's his weakest.
Yeah, or something like that. I don't know if he was just intentionally going with someone who is just like the most different from him, or what that could have possibly been. I hope we get a little bit of story there. Maybe Travis gave him the DL on all these people and had nice things to say about Gabby, because this just doesn't make sense to me. Why would he go with Gabby?
And
I mean, no shade to her or anything. No, she's a winner.
But she's not one of the A-list all-stars. And I don't know.
Maybe she made a really strong pitch for him. I don't know.
I mean, she must have. But either way, we needed to see this because it is a story. And I think that they maybe just don't understand what is a story and what isn't, or like what we're interested in seeing. Because I don't want to see montages of people working on their hip hop routines, but I want to see basically every single bid to be on a team. Like, I want to see every interaction that's them choosing. And there were 9 people who just were like, and they were also picked onto team.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, well, that's useless. I would like to see every single one of those, please.
Yeah. And like in that little montage, we see Impavido go with Cyrus. Great pairing, in my opinion.
Excellent.
So that is good. And then, you know, we have some people that, like, I don't even, like, remember. Mark Valiva or something. He goes with Allison. He goes with Comfort. He goes with Comfort, but gets a bid from Allison. Allison was bidding right and left. She asked everyone to be on her team.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting, though, right? Because, like, on one hand, whether they're actually that good at hip hop or not, the sort of first tier of auditioners, people whose solos are extraordinary, are all going to go in the hip hop round because it's the first round of drafting. Mm-hmm. So on one hand, you might say, well, OK, she's going to fill up her team and then she's going to see all these amazing people come up after the contemporary round and just really regret it. On the other hand, bidding hard and fast in the first round of the draft, I don't know, that might be a good idea. Like, just because then you at least have a shot at the Lexes of the world, even in those
Lex. I'm assuming first round bid. It's a first round draft pick, but you know, the nice thing is that it's not like it someone gets first pick, you know, everybody can bid at the same time. So that is a good system. We see a lot of highlights of this guy, Logan Hernandez, who is absolutely divine. And while he's doing a solo, Cyrus says, "What kind of alien?" Right. And I'm like, same, but this is someone that I probably should remember from auditions, and I just don't.
I don't remember him either. I'm wondering if they even, I'm sure they did show him, but I don't remember. And we saw a lot of him on this show. So
right. So we see his whole bidding process. He gets bids from Jenna, Robert, and Allison. He ends up going with Allison, but I feel like the move here was probably Jenna, because Jenna says, "I don't just want you on my team. I want you as my partner." Like, she up and says that. So I feel like if you get that enthusiasm from someone, you should probably go with that person. But he does end up going with Allison here.
That's just a confidence issue, right? Because, like, on one hand, you're basically looking at, okay, do I go with someone who I'm guaranteed to get on the show, but I might go out, you know, eighth place? Or do I go with the person who I think if they choose me to be, which is not a guarantee, to be their partner, I'm more likely to finish in the top three? Because I feel like Allison is a sort of higher ranked coach than Jenna. She's certainly more established on the show. She's a legend. Like, she's the only one from a really early season, right?
Yeah.
And she's very clearly in charge here and all that stuff. So I think that Alice, people getting an opportunity to potentially be Allison's partner and a guarantee of getting to be Jenna's partner might be seen as a similar offer, even though one is a guarantee and one's, I don't know.
It totally depends. Possible.
Yeah. But then on the other front, he has that sort of interesting style. And even though Jenna, I don't think of her as being that interesting of a dancer, she did do that one routine with Mark, and she did it so well that you have in your head like, oh, well, she does have the ability to work within that sort of quirkier space. Mm-hmm. So whereas Allison, I really don't think does. So I don't know. It was an interesting choice. I do think people are using Allison as the easy choice. And I'm interested in anybody who turned her down.
Yeah. She also gets the first member of her team, Kevin Davis Jr. He's a hip hopper, and he gets bids from Allison, Cyrus, Jasmine, Fiction, and Comfort. So all of the hip hoppers and Allison. And he ends up going with Allison, which, you know, it makes sense to me. I still feel like for someone like him, I think Jasmine is a really strong choice because she has the hip hop ability, but also can help him branch out more. Whereas Allison, she has the hip hop ability, but it's not quite the same because it's not totally her wheelhouse and not something that she grew up in the tradition of. So, you know, it's an interesting choice. I feel like Jasmine also is someone who will be popular in the voting. Am I wrong?
She might be because she's so likable. Whereas I think that Allison, she's certainly more likable on So You Think You Can Dance than on Dancing with the Stars because she's so much more at home.
Yeah.
But she can be quite stiff, especially on live shows. I don't know that she's that endearing on TV all the time.
Yeah, she does come off as not the warmest person, compared to who she was 10 years ago when she was a teenager and coming from High School Musical.
Yeah, well, and I just think that she, when competition is set, like here, I think she was delightful because the competition hasn't started. She doesn't need to impress anybody. She's just sort of existing. When she's on a live show and she's competing and she's desperate for votes, she does this sort of plastered on smile thing and she gets nervous and her personality goes away a little bit. Whereas I think Jasmine really thrives. Like, she's so charming. I do think, though, I suspect a little bit that some of these people are not remembering Jasmine that well and certainly not remembering her as a contemporary dancer, because this might have been a great opportunity for him to pick Jasmine and he just sort of didn't register her and was like, "You're also a hip hop dancer." But my other question, though, I don't know how much experience Jasmine has with ballroom. So if you're a hip hop dancer, which I think is Allison's one real weak point, unless they're going to put Tap on the show, which they can't because it's just too much for one week.
Yeah.
I think hip hop is really Allison's only blank spot and she can do it. She's not great at it. So if you're a hip hop,
she did the umbrella
dancer,
routine. Yeah, that I brought up multiple times on the show.
Yeah, but it's so lyrical, right? Like she can't. She can absolutely do hip hop. She's also married to Twitch. Like, come on. Yeah. But she can absolutely do it. She's just not gonna. It's not gonna be the greatest routine of all time, like it would be if you picked Comfort.
Yeah.
But she. Every single other thing that's going to come up is covered by Allison. So if you're a hip hop dancer and you're confident enough that you're going to be good at hip hop, whether or not your partner is helping you, he's now covered on every single front. Whereas Jasmine, he'd be covered on a bunch of fronts really strongly, but he'd still have that hole where her ballroom is.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really like Kevin. I think he's very charming.
Yeah, good luck to you, Kevin Davis Jr. And then the last person that I want to bring up is my early fave. I'm going to say now that she's going to make it into the top 10, Dasi Lee. Yes. I just have a really good feeling about her. I loved her audition. She just, I really feel like she's going to do well.
Yeah. So, okay. So here's the thing. If you're Desi and you get two bids, Cyrus and Fiction, what do you do?
Yeah. It's hard because I understand why she goes with Fiction here. Because first of all, this is the most adorable pair just ever. They're both so small and cute and just have like these huge personalities. I feel like, I don't know. Maybe it's just because I liked Cyrus better. I feel like I'm having a hard time coming up with a justification for this because Fiction did win and Cyrus did not. But I would probably go with Cyrus. I don't know. I feel like Fiction... I don't know if he has the same kind of teaching ability and the maturity for that to know how to help a dancer really grow and fill in their blind spots, where I feel Osiris has a lot of leadership quality. He's kind of, I see him kind of as in charge of that whole Dragon House circle. And he just seems like someone who would be better at imparting wisdom, maybe. But that is more of an instinctual thing than anything that I can actually point to. What do you think?
I agree with that. I'm much more drawn to Cyrus than Fiction. I know he has this delightful personality. I don't particularly find Fiction very likable as a person. Like I don't like his personality that much. I think he's I don't know how old he is, but he reminds me so much of a kid. Like he's just he's jumping around all the time, cracking jokes. Like I don't know. But I do remember him being maybe a little bit more well-rounded than Cyrus in terms of, which is why he won and Cyrus didn't, because Cyrus was one of those people who ability wise was dragged along by the vote far past where he should have gone home. Mm-hmm. But because he was one of the great standout personalities ever on the show, he's delightful. Like I would want to work with Cyrus just to get to work with Cyrus, not necessarily on a talent front, but just like I feel like if I got stressed in the competition, I'd like having Cyrus next to me. And I think you're right. I think he's a good teacher. I think he's solid. I think he doesn't shake easily. Where I don't know that I would want to lean on Fiction.
Yeah.
And that's not a size joke. Like I think that, you know.
Yeah. And I think it would be hard to perform with Fiction for a lot of weeks in a row because I don't think that you would ever feel like you're the star.
Yes, absolutely. He's so showy. I totally agree. He's maybe my least favorite all-star. I just don't, I don't feel it with Fiction. I know I'm supposed to. I he doesn't appeal to me. And yes, I know I like Paul and I don't like Fiction. What's wrong with me? But I would pick Cyrus. My heart lies with Cyrus, even though he is probably not as good of a dancer as Fiction in a larger sense.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, and I think there is that idea of like if you did get really far, it's like, well, is America ever actually voting for me?
Yeah.
Or are
they
voting for my partner?
He is the closest thing to that like crazy fan favorite that I talked about not being on this show. Yeah.
Yeah. And the judges love him and all that. I mean, the judges love all these people, but I especially remember them being gaga over Fiction.
Yeah, like who knows if they care about Paul at all, you know, but they know. Nigel especially is obsessed. Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was gonna say one of the other pair I wanted to talk about is I can never remember her name, but that really beautiful Japanese girl. She's the only person we see go to Marco, and I think this is a really good
her name
pair.
Is like it's like Queenie or something like that. I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, she's I remember loving her audition and just thinking she was so wonderful. And she's the only person we see pick Marco, who is both of our, I mean, if not favorite, like definitely right up there.
Yeah.
I you know, Marco's never done a bad routine on this show in his life. So yeah, I'm very excited to see this pair. They didn't get a lot of airtime. It was, I think it was montaged, but I think this is a real dark horse pairing, and I'm excited to see somebody pick Marco.
Yeah, and she looked, I mean, even from the little bit of the hip hop round that we saw, it just looked incredible what she was doing with her body. So yeah, and then I think we only have 6 people that are cut after the hip hop round, which
yes.
is
yes.
very interesting.
Including Sade, who was the one we talked about her in like week 2 or something. Mm-hmm. And I was not that impressed, but she was the one who her parents were dancers.
Yeah. And Chelsea Huff was cut.
Who we only talked about because of her name. She was montaged yes. the first time.
Mm-hmm. And other than that, I didn't write down anyone as yes. being someone that I remembered.
Some guy named Jason Kidd was the only other one who got a name, I think. But
oh, yeah, because he's been there like 4 times or something.
Yeah, I don't really know who that is.
Always been cut, yeah. So, yeah, that was everything that I had. Do you have anything else from this episode that you wanted to touch on?
I don't think so. I did notice that Fox kept advertising Superhuman over all of the best routines that were kind of Superhuman. That's pretty funny.
Yes. I'll say I liked the Nappy Tabs routine. It was kind of old school, very funky.
Yeah.
Didn't do it.
Yeah, it was fine. Yeah. I didn't really notice it.
I thought it was fun.
Yeah, I will say I really hope that in the future weeks we get 100% of these selection scenes.
Yeah,
I don't care about the personal drama. Like, we're gonna spend so long on this dumb group routine.
I love the all night group routines.
Really?
No. I love them. I've said this before on this podcast that it's the closest thing to like a more conventional reality show that is on So You Think You Can Dance, because it's the only time when you start to be like, ooh, this person's like doesn't work well in a group. I don't like that person, because So You Think You Can Dance, it's so hard to find people to not like and to root against. But this is the one week where I get to not feel like a bad person if I'm rooting against people.
But I am never looking to root against somebody. Like, this is
that is where we differ
in Big Brother this year, where like everybody wants Cody back because they like having a villain in the house. I'm like, no, I don't want him here. I don't like him. I actually am like that weird person who enjoys season 16 because there were no villains. Like, it just, I like liking everybody, because if everybody's yeah. a compelling character, there's more people for me to invest in. So I don't want necessarily extra drama for no real reason. I also feel like a lot of those group routines, the drama, I always feel bad for the person who gets like who seems like the bad guy, because some of the time they are just brutal.
Yeah.
But I do think a lot of it is communication errors, and everyone's so stressed out and panicky that someone misinterprets something someone else says. And I'm just so the person who, like, if I went on, the reason I can't go on a reality show is because I would get a villain edit and I couldn't handle it. And it's because, like, people will, I'll say something and I'll maybe say it a little bit wrong. And because I'm big and I'm loud and I, you know what I want, that will seem as bullying. And then people will take that and then they'll have a little conversation among themselves about how I'm the worst person ever. And I feel like this happens on the group rounds a lot. And the person who was just trying to get things done in an efficient manner so that they can go get some sleep is now the worst bossy person in the entire world. And how dare they? And how dare they want to sleep? Because that's not a good strategy. And like, and it just becomes this thing, and then groupthink takes over. And I just feel bad for people. And I just want my nice dancing show.
Yeah, listen, I totally understand. And I don't want to seem like I am always looking for people to root against. And I'm with you on Big Brother. There are plenty of people in the house that I already have to root against. I do not need Cody back. but I think just because the shows that I invest the most time and energy in are So You Think You Can Dance and American Ninja Warrior, where there aren't any villains. And you kind of, It's hard for me to get on these podcasts and say mean things about anyone, because it's like everybody's just trying their best. They all have great stories. I like a little bit of drama to mix it up a little bit and kind of be like, ooh, that person is annoying or whatever, because it's hard to do that on these shows because everybody's just so darn sweet.
there. I mean, I also, my life is I'm a literal critic. So yes. When I get to just be like, weren't they all so good this week? It makes me happy. It's like a nice little break of just like, I love you all so much. And I don't have to nitpick you because you were good. So that makes me happy.
So Travis Wall kicking off next week. Probably will get a lot of people cut after that. Looks like a very challenging routine.
Because they're going to what, Lita?
What are they going? They're going to hit a Travis Wall.
They're going to hit a Travis Wall. It's the worst joke and I love it so much.
That is what is going to happen. Yes, it looked extremely challenging. I'm sure that Lex will rock it and then go on to win the season. And
but for Gabby, and is this like Dancing with the Stars where like the coach sort of co-wins?
Probably two times. So You Think You Can Dance winner Gabby Diaz.
What? No, that, two but... time. Is she the only? Wait, so Fiction's a winner. She's a winner.
Uh huh.
Are anybody else a winner?
I believe those are the only two winners.
Which is dumb because those are the two worst All Stars.
Yeah, well, Fiction, I feel like it's an asterisk because there were two winners this season. If that was any other season, it would have been just Amy.
True, that is true. But there's also the other season where they did two. They were both unbelievably good, so I don't know.
Which season was that?
I do not remember. I want to say, no, I don't remember my numbers. It was
who were the winners?
It was Keon and the girl whose name I can't pronounce. I want to say it's like Ileana or something.
Oh, like, right. Oh, my gosh. We've been over this. Yeah. I always forget about this season.
Yeah, because they were kind of boring because they were both ballet dancers, but they were just so God, Keon might be like the actual best male dancer they've ever had on the show. But he was so like non-existent, like he didn't have a personality, really. And so nobody remembers him at all.
Oh, here's an interesting fact. Paul from this season, I was looking at the All Stars online just to make sure we didn't miss any winners. Paul is the winner of So You Think You Can Dance Armenia.
Oh, I did know that. Yes, I did know that.
Because I see winner of Psytic D, Paul, and I was like, what? And that it says Armenia. Interesting. I did not know that.
I've always had a strange, I don't know if that's should be fair. The guy who won So You Think You Dance Canada was on a couple of years ago and he quit, which was hilarious. But I don't know that should be allowed. It's weird.
It's tough, but you know, it didn't really do Paul that many favors in terms of voting on the show, I don't think.
He's gonna be on the show and you're gonna love him and you're gonna be like, what didn't I see before?
I'm sure you're right. I'm sure that's true. That season was there were so many huge personalities on season 10.
Yeah, well, as evidenced by the fact that there are 100% of the
four of them. Season 10. Yeah, on this panel. All right, so that's our episode. Fun episode. I tweeted this last night, but So You Think You Can Dance rapidly becoming my favorite hour of reality television per week. It's just so bite-sized. Big Brother, it's only an hour, but it's on three times a week. And American Ninja Warrior is 2 hours, and The Bachelorette is 2 hours. And I just feel so relaxed when I'm watching these So You Think You Can Dance episodes. I feel like I don't really have anything to stress over like I do with other shows.
Yeah, these 43 minutes are just like, it's a perfectly perfect, compact, nice little thing. Don't know how they're possibly going to get a full, like, are they going to go to 2 episodes or 2 hours when they expand to the top 10? Because they have to do 10 routines and
elimination.
And the elimination. So
yeah.
Maybe they just won't let Vanessa talk.
Yeah, probably. I mean, I'd be fine with them going to 2 hours for that. I really am enjoying this season so far. I'm really happy with it. And happy that I don't hate the new format. I was dreading it a little bit just because I fear change. And I love this show so much that I don't want it to jump the shark, as they say. But I think it's strong as ever with the new format.
I just love me some All-Stars. I like don't even if they're not people I loved the first time. Like, I didn't like Jenna. I didn't like Fiction. Gabby's fine. But like, I don't know. I just love an All-Star. And I love Robert. And I love the like constant quest to understand and love Robert that the whole population is on together.
And I will spend the rest of the season standing up for Jenna. because I voted for her consistently.
I don't think she's a bad dancer in any way. I think she's a good dancer. I just don't. She doesn't strike a chord with me. It's entirely personal based on something I've never met before.
Yes. Yeah, no. I completely understand. So, Kelly, what is going on in your world? Where can people find you? What should people be looking for from you?
What is going on in my world? Well, okay, so I just finished this 11-day festival thing. My site published 112 reviews.
Oh, my goodness.
That was a lot of fun. And then tomorrow, I am flying to San Diego because I'm covering Comic-Con. So that'll be a lot of fun.
Amazing.
Yeah. So I will be, my colleague is going to be covering panels and parties and all that kind of the floor, all that kind of crazy crowded nonsense that I don't like. And I'm going to be hiding across the street in the Hilton, doing press rooms. So that'll be really fun. I'm looking forward to that quite a bit.
Where can people find all of this stuff? All of this great work?
Oh, all of this stuff, thank you, Lita, all of this stuff is going to be published on myentertainmentworld.ca, which is my website. And so it's going to be a lot of videos of very loud rooms where sort of celebrities are talking about their television shows for the most part. And we have a couple games things coming up and a couple books things as well, features, but it's a lot of television. So all of those are mostly going to be in video format. They're going to be going up on myentertainmentworld.ca regularly. So check that, especially in the next week or so. Then I'm back and then I'm doing more Stratford and Stuff reviews. You can find all of the content on myentertainmentworld.ca. And I don't tend to post as much, but a lot of updates and photos and all that kind of stuff from the actual just experience of Comic-Con will be up on my Instagram and Twitter, both of which are at My End World. They're company accounts, but they are all me. Well, they're not all me, but they're mostly me. And reality TV thoughts all go there as well. Send in videos. Emo Stephen Fishback was sending me these videos, which was delightful. So send me your favorite routines. I really want to see them. And also because they're fun reminders when I'm stuck in San Diego in a giant line or something. Send me just, this is my favorite dance routine from season 6, which I also didn't see. So I need to catch up on those. Send me stuff, comment, because I am a big replier on the comments, and tweet at me at My Ant World.
Did I know that you have not seen season 6 of So You Think You Can Dance?
I don't know. It was the one that aired in the fall because, again, like NBC with The Voice, they were like, we don't have any material. Reality show. I just can't same thing. This happened with Big Brother Canada as well. I watched season 1, thought it was fantastic and wanted to watch further seasons, but I just, the actual school year, which even though I am not in school, there's so much actual television happening in like the sort of scripted network format, that I can't, my summer reality shows, when they start encroaching on my year, I have to drop them. So
yeah, you know what? I'm looking at the roster of season 6, and this is understandable. I'm looking at these contestants. The interesting thing about season 6 is that the winner was a crumper, like an honest to God crumper.
Yes, because that was the year everybody on reality TV was named Russell.
Yes.
There was a Russell on American Idol. There was a Russell on Big Brother. Obviously, that was, I believe, Samoa year. And yes, Russell won So You Think You Dance. There was probably another one. There was probably like a Top Chef or something named
probably. The only notable people for that were Russell and Catherine McCormick, who came in third, who is very, very good.
Yeah. And there was the next season, I quite liked Billy Bell, and I know he was on season 6 and he got injured, so he came back.
Yes. Yeah. Go follow Kelly, look at everything that she's doing. I'm so jealous of all that you get to do with theater. And you can find me on Twitter at Lita Tweeted and on Instagram at Lita Grammed. I'm not sharing anything nearly as exciting as these things, but you know, just give me a follow. See what I'm up to.
She's doing some writing lately. That's been really good. She's so smart, guys. You should.
Thank you. Yes, I very tentatively sometimes release writing into the world lately. And I have been doing some Big Brother morning updates. So yeah. You can always see those on Rob has a podcast Facebook page. We do Facebook Lives on there. I was on it yesterday doing a feed update with Taryn and Alex. I do those once in a while, doing a little bit more Big Brother stuff this year. And of course, American Ninja Warrior is in full swing. Taryn and I recording that later today. Should be out this week. Had a fun episode last night, so always be on the lookout for that. And other than that, that is our episode. Join us next week.
I do want to tell you, though, I ran into, because you're doing these updates, I ran into somebody at the Toronto Fringe tent who is an RHGP listener, and I was saying that I do the So You Think You Dance coverage with Lita, and he's like, Lita, she was on the morning update the other day. And I was like, oh, she'll want to hear that. That was delightful.
Yes. I'm a huge celebrity. Yes. You are all welcome for my presence and my Big Brother analysis.
You should be listening to the morning updates, so they're delightful. Because I haven't watched a single episode of TV that wasn't So You Think You Can Dance in the last 2 weeks because I was doing this Fringe thing, which are like 18-hour days. And so I'm totally behind, but I know exactly what's happening because I listen to all of the podcasts while I'm walking from venue to venue. So I am completely caught up on everything Big Brother. And then I got home and I started watching. So I'm television wise, I'm pretty sure Alex has just won the veto, like the first veto. But
yes.
I know I'm way ahead of this entirely because of these guys in the coverage on RHAP. So that's been a lot of fun. So you should definitely check all that out, especially if Lita's on because she's the best.
Yeah, especially if I'm on. Yeah. I definitely am a Big Brother expert and don't let anyone tell you otherwise.
Don't say that with sarcasm. You have very good insights and you watch the show and the live feed. So that's all you need.
Yes, I do watch the live feeds. Yeah. Kind of taken over my life, but that'll happen. But that's why we do the updates, so it doesn't have to take over your life. You have these bite-sized updates every morning. So please subscribe to Reality TV Rehap-Ups on iTunes or whatever your podcatcher is, because then you can get this and American Ninja Warrior and The Bachelorette and all of these other exciting things that are happening. Dancing with the Stars, when it comes back, you'll already be subscribed and ready to go. Leave us comments. You can leave reviews on the Rehap-Ups page. We don't have our own dedicated iTunes feed yet, but you can leave a review for us specifically on that Rehap-Ups page. We'll see it. And yeah, comment, tweet us, whatever. If you ever have a question, you can comment on the page on Rob Has a Website, or you can tweet to us and we will see it and answer it on the next podcast.
I would also like an update from that woman who is watching all of season 4.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yes. Anyone who we have convinced to watch old seasons, that warms our hearts extremely deeply.
And we will likewise update you when Lita finally watches Center Stage.
Oh my God, I have time and then I just forget that I said that I was going to do that. I'm really not trying to avoid this. It's just,
I'm going to fly to your house and just like sit you down, bring my like old DVD. Listen, this is what's happening now to you.
I just need to set an alarm on my phone like every single day. Be like, do I have time right now? To do it.
It's a short movie. There's just long, there's like a 6-minute sequence of Cranko's Romeo and Juliet. It's fun. It's great.
It will happen. But until then, thank you for listening, and we will see you next time.
Bye, guys. So you think you can.